Yesterday was the Illinois Marathon. You know, it really motivated me. It really did. I think I'm going to run next year in it. Not really. Although I probably could. Many of you know that I ran in a marathon once. 25 miles, Tulsa, Oklahoma. I finished it. No, I didn't barf as soon as I crossed the finish line. That's tough. You know that? Running a 25-mile marathon is tough. I trained months and months and months. It seemed like years and years and years. But I crossed it. I can't remember. We started with 50-something, and we wound up with 15. But I crossed it. I finished it. I stayed in formation. And let me tell you, it's not an easy feat. Maybe I will. I don't know. I'm 54. You know, one of the guys that competed in this finished it. He was in his 60s, so I got hope. Problem is, will my knee hold up? That's what I have to worry about. We're looking at the series in Engage. Now, you remember the three tenets? Louder. Thank you. Good job. We're in Engage. This is actually the last one. I want you to understand that we could go further, that I could preach probably 5 or 6 messages in this series, but I will spare you that. But what Paul has been teaching, and I kind of want to give you up to date where he is, he's talking here about basically the end times, and he's talking about the second coming of Christ, and that there's a day coming, then the Antichrist will be revealed, and then the world unfolds, God's plan unfolds as it goes. And then in verses 16 and 17, he says, "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who loves us and gives us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good word." In other words, he's saying all this is going to come, but I want you to know that we have hope in Christ, and I want you to stay steadfast. And then he basically closes this book out, this letter, this chapter, by saying, "Finally, brothers." And no doubt, Paul is thinking now about the most important thing that needs to happen before Christ comes back. There's no doubt. This isn't just chance or random luck that Paul put this in exactly where it is. Because he's been talking about the return of Christ, and he wanted to go back to a main theme for the church. And the main theme for the church is that we are to pray for effective evangelism. Again, we're talking here about engaging and helping others engage Christ through worship. And the way that we do that is by sharing the gospel with them. Yes, people can get saved by reading the Bible. St. Augustine sat down under a tree, read the scriptures, led himself to Christ. You do realize that's rare. That's a rare moment. You may have a deathbed moment where a person is lying on their deathbed, and all of a sudden they remember something that their pastor, a pastor that visited them said, or the chaplain said, and all of a sudden, before they get ready to die, they say, "God, forgive me." I think that gets them in, particularly if they're focused on him. We may have all the, you know, "I need to repent" and all that stuff, but I think if he says, "God, forgive me, come into my life," I think that gets them in. But those are rare moments. The fact is, God uses us. He uses us to share the gospel. And we're supposed to be praying for effective evangelism. And he starts by saying, "Brothers, pray for us." A very specific, clear command. Please pray for us. And what does Paul want prayer for? The word of the Lord. That is the good news. Listen, now that I can see it, thanks to Lindsay, the Bible is good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man in form of a baby. He was born, he grew up just like we did. He lived a sinless life, and he took that sinless life and he put it on the cross. I know this is way of review, but that's okay. And he died on the cross to pay for our sins. Then when he died physically, he 3 days later rose again and is now at the right hand of the Father, living to make intercession for those who trust him. And the good news in all of this, through the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord says that you can have forgiveness in Christ. But you have to trust in him. You have to trust in him. That means you have to place your trust in Christ. That's the simplicity of the gospel, yet people miss that. Speed ahead. It's actually an athletic term. This runner is... Have you ever ran in the starting blocks and you push off? I'm just guessing, but this guy's fast. He's running ahead. He's running. And the Apostle Paul uses the same term that deals with athletics and running and those moving down the course at a rapid pace. Notice what he says here, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead, that it may go forth. It's not to be just kind of walking forth. It's to actually go forth. And the way that that happens is by the church sharing and spreading the gospel message. We have to engage the culture so that the culture can engage our Savior and meet him face to face. It happens with us. And he's saying here, may it speed ahead. And obviously, no doubt to the Christians that were ahead, Paul was saying that it be speed ahead and be honored. Notice what he says, that it may speed ahead and that it may be honored. And by the way, we're talking here about the rapid advance of the gospel. Do you know God still wants the gospel to advance? Paul was saying, pray for us that we might share the gospel. When was the last time you prayed for one another or for the church in sharing the gospel? It's supposed to be, you know, I'm going to tell you this. We have prayer group every Wednesday night. We have five. We need to be here praying for the advancement of the gospel. You need to be praying at home. Maybe first thing in the morning, pray for, if you know somebody who is a Christian, maybe not even in this church, that's getting ready to share the gospel that day, why don't you pray for them? Take a minute and say, Lord, may the word go forth and may it be honored. And what does that word honored mean? It means accepted. That is, when somebody shares the gospel, what we pray for is an acceptance, that it may be honored. And yes, that must be God's word. It must be his message. And therefore, I will honor that and embrace it. What he's praying for here is pray for effective evangelism. So I ask the question again, when was the last time you prayed for somebody else or for yourself that you would be an effective tool to share the gospel? See, it's all about moving the gospel forward. Please don't think that we are here as a body of Christ to minister to our own needs. That's good, and there's nothing wrong with ministering to our own needs. But please be reminded that the church exists for two purposes, to worship God and to send out the message. And worshiping him leads to that evangelistic thrust. We learned that last week, that there's a bridge. God does something and it changes your life and you're able to witness. Now we're looking at how that gospel goes forth, how it moves. Notice that it happened among you. You remember the day. Let's look at this. Here he says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. That is, that the gospel may go forth and that people might honor the gospel and trust in it. Now notice what he says. If they need another motivation for prayer, this is it. As happened among you. Do you remember the day that you trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior? I do. In my mind, I still remember a little army chapel that I was in the day that I trusted in Christ. What happened on that day? I honored the gospel message and I honored Christ by trusting in him as my Lord and Savior. I told myself, can't do it on my own. I know a person right now that's not in this auditorium, it's in a different country, that is struggling because they have a sense of purposelessness in their heart. Why do people feel empty and purposeless? They need Christ. They need Christ. And we are the ones that are able to share the gospel in hopes that they might honor the word and receive it and trust in him as Lord and Savior. But not only that did Paul want prayer for effective evangelism, but he wanted prayer for protection. Notice verse 2. And that we, and I'm assuming the Apostle Paul is talking about himself and those that were with him, and that we may be delivered. Delivered means rescued. I saw this picture. Have you ever tripped over one of these? I did. I remember when I was in high school, I thought I was going to tear the course up. And I started running, and I jumped the first one. I looked very unorthodox. And I almost cleared the second one. And then I did a face plant. And let me tell you, that hurt. That was an obstacle. When you look at it, when I looked at this picture, I thought of a spiritual image of what it looks like to be a Christian in a world of people who do not know Christ. And then start thinking about this guy stopped, this guy fell, and there's only two running. I wonder, when we go into this world and we're sharing the gospel and we get cut down, by the way, it is getting harder and harder to be a Christian in our culture. Do you know that the U.S. Army, the army that I so wonderfully love, do you know what they did this week? Does anybody in here know what the army did this week that they blocked access to the Southern Baptist Convention because it was hostile content. What's hostile? Well, what's hostile is you're a sinner, you need Christ, you need to be saved, you need to repent, come to him and he'll give you forgiveness. It's getting worse, folks. I'm not prophesying anything here new. You should know this. As the days get longer, it's going to get tougher to be a Christian right here in America. And it's starting at the Pentagon, and it's working its way down. I was appalled when I heard that. That a sergeant, if I was a sergeant in the Army, and I was at my unit, I could not type in the Southern Baptist Convention and get on their website because they have blocked it. Yet, they let all this other garbage come flowing in. I'm telling you guys, it's going to get tough. And what we need to do is we need to pray for one another that we don't get clobbered in the process. Now, these guys are trying to run their own race. I realize that. But if we put this in a spiritual sense, let's not quit and let's keep moving forward. And if we fall, get back up. But we need to be praying for one another. It may one day cost one of you in this room your job if you share the gospel at work. May very well. It's an ethical dilemma. It really is. If somebody, I'm kind of lucky because, I'm fortunate because I'm a pastor. If somebody asked me, I can share the gospel. But if I was in a work environment, it would be a dilemma for me. Of course, I'd flip on this side, obviously. But the question is, do you share the gospel unless you're asked at work? But if somebody asks you, then by the love of Christ, you're compelled to share the truth of the gospel. I would say that if somebody asks you, this is probably what I would, my counsel to you, would be that you go to work, you do your job, you do what you're supposed to do, honor God that way. And in so doing, people might recognize that you're a Christian and begin asking you questions. In that case, then I would say, share the gospel. But I think that you can share the gospel without actually sharing the gospel just by the way that you live. Because people will know, hey, there's something different here. But in any event, in in all situations, this is what we need to be doing for one another. We need to be praying for one another that we are protected as we go out into the workplace, as we share the gospel, because this environment, it's going to come, I am telling you, it is going to get rough. In the next 10 years, it is going to get extremely tough for Christians to share their faith right here in America, which was based on spiritual freedom and independence. I'm telling you, and I'm serious, it is going to get rough. It may cost you your job. I'm talking within 10 years. I may wind up in jail for preaching the gospel on Sunday morning, and I'll go to jail. That's where I'll be. And Susan, we need to make sure if she's not, okay, Susan, not here. But we need to make sure we have enough bail money. We can set that aside to get me out of jail. Notice this. Notice what Paul says. Wicked and evil men. That's the culture in which we live. You do realize that even nice people are lost. Actually, anything outside of Christ would be considered godless, without God. And notice this reality. Please, let me wake you up to this reality. Not all have faith. That's the problem with our culture today. They think everybody's going to heaven. And you know what? They believe it because the Christians have not been sharing the gospel message. Or we don't live the gospel message so that they will ask us. Not all have faith, so we have the Oprah Winfrey. You tell I love Oprah. She needs to get saved. If Oprah got saved, it would do great world of good for Christendom. But if we have this Oprah Winfrey mindset where everybody gets to heaven, there's this spiritual thing, and everybody doesn't go. Paul says right here, not everybody has faith. And guess what? Today, not everybody has faith in America. I do not buy the statistics that say 80% of Americans are Christian. I cannot buy that. I'm going to step out here and I'm going to give you some statistics. These are made up on the spot, obviously. I'm going to bet you, when you boil it down, and I know Barnes does research. If you really want to check to find out what the percentage is, go to Barnes. But I would venture to say, we're, particularly as these last 8 years have unfolded, I would venture to say 28% of Americans are true evangelical Christians, not 85%. That might have been 85% back in 1960. It ain't there now. This is the world we live in, and we need to be praying for one another for protection. I'm going to have to speed ahead. I got hung down on this. But God's going to watch over us. He's going to take care of us. Notice, I love this, but in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. So he asks for prayer that the gospel may speed ahead. People might receive the gospel as it did among you. For not all have faith. You notice he's playing words here. This is a contrast to those who do not have faith. The contrast is God is faithful. You catch that? We live in a world that people do not have faith, but, by the way, while you're out there sharing the gospel, remember, God is faithful. This is this is the coach, and he's preparing the runner for a marathon. Maybe that's what I need to do if I'm going to run a marathon, just hire a coach. I don't know. I think I could do it. Really do. I think I could pull it off. As long as they have oxygen at the end of the... Paul's talking about running. And what I like about this is it kind of reminds me that God is right by our side. No matter where we go. Whether in death or in life, God is with us. And notice what he says here, the Lord is faithful, he will establish you and guard you against the evil one. think that's all I'm going to do there. Our encouragement from this is that he will establish us. He will make us strong and will enable us to continue our mission. He will establish you and guard you. That is, he will protect you against the evil one. The reason I put encouragement here is because as we're running and trying to get the gospel to speed ahead and we're praying for others as they share the gospel, that God will protect them. One thing that God impressed upon me when I was writing this was that we need to be on the sidelines. Well, actually, we need to be in the game too, but we need to encourage those who are running. Yes, God will encourage and he will strengthen us and he will guard us, but I think we need to encourage one another. Spend much more time encouraging one another. You know, we're all in this together, right? No matter how you, what you boil it down, I'm in this group, I'm in this group, I'm in that group. You do realize that we are all in this thing together. That as we share the gospel, it's not my gospel, it's not Brother Joe's gospel, it's not Deacon Glenn's gospel, it's not Brother Ben's gospel. This is God's gospel. We are the messengers to send it out. And I think we need to be praying for one another, for protection and for progress. We need to be praying for one another, encouraging each other. I didn't stay to watch because I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to go in Champaign and try to get bumper-to-bumper traffic. But there were a lot of people there. I think 21,000 runners is what they said showed up. I don't even know how you can fit 21,000 runners in Champaign, but they did. But beyond that, there was tons more people. And you saw this event probably played over a lot of times along that 25-mile route. People saying, come on, you can do it. Matter of fact, when I ran the marathon and we started getting, I would look, somebody encouraged me. Because my legs are tired. Please. Oh, good. There's one lady over there sitting in a chair going, come on. I'm like, I want to be in your chair. I don't want to run this thing. I'm ready to quit. I had guys say, Sergeant Frazier, come on, go. And then I would get down the road and they would start lagging and I'd say, come on, let's get going. And you cross the finish line and they wrap you with this aluminum foil. I said, you're not going to put me in an oven, are you? I guess it's to keep the heat in. But there's times when you're running a marathon, these guys will probably attest to that. There's times when you run a marathon, man, you need encouragement. And listen, I don't know, I don't know how you do in your life, but I don't like this world. I'll be honest with you. I don't like this world. This ain't my home. Ain't is in the dictionary, by the way. It's now a dictionary word. Didn't used to be. My eighth grade grammar teacher would kill me. Ain't. This isn't my world. My world's there, and I'm stuck here. And sometimes, even as a pastor, and I started thinking about this, started thinking about you guys and gals. If I'm tired of this world, and I'm kind of insulated to some degree, I am, because when I go into the hospitals and things like that, people don't usually say, you know, although I've had a few times when people were rude with me. Generally, when a pastor comes along, they're the most religious people you've ever seen. I started thinking about, if I'm tired of this, what about you guys? You guys are in the trenches every day. You're with people who like Buddha. You're with people who play Ouija boards and think it's real. You're with people who talk about Oprah. It may, you know, pray for Oprah. She's on my mind, I guess. But we need to encourage each other. Maybe a phone call, maybe a letter. Maybe just say, Brother Larry, keep hanging in there. Keep running. Sister Laura, just keep at it. Brother John, keep at it. Brother Wade, wake up. I couldn't resist that. It's part of, it's what we call in preaching, thinking on your feet. So you have to, anyway. Humor's okay as long as the whole sermon's not a joke. And remain obedient to the task. Verse 4. Notice here, and we have confidence in the Lord about you. So Paul's saying, as the gospel's going ahead, Paul's telling them, but we have confidence in the Lord about you. Notice there shouldn't be any confidence about me, but it's only as those who are in the Lord are you able to get confidence. And I think this goes back to the fact that he that began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ. You are running, we are running a marathon race. Some of us, unknowingly, are near the finish line and we don't even know it. Some of us are halfway. Some of us maybe just started. And when I'm talking about you're running the race, you're not near death. God knows the day of your death. We don't know where we are on the long scheme of things. None of us. No, nobody in this room can predict with full assurance when you're going to die. But I can tell you this, you are going to die. And I don't want you to get bummed out about that, because, you know, most, I know you miss your family, you miss things of this world, but, you know, going to be with Jesus is infinitely better. But the thing is, you got to run here. So stick to it. Keep being obedient. Notice he says that you will do, that you are doing, and will continue to do. He knew that they were going to keep running. I guess you realize this is a running motif today. This guy's the first one to cross the finish line. Tola. Yeah. The only way he's able to cross the finish line is if he remained faithful to taking one foot in front of the other and moving forward. I love the image of running and the Christian life being a marathon, and why I like that so much is that there is a finish line that you have to cross. And each of us will cross it in our own time, at our own pace, when the Lord's ready. You'll not stay a day longer. You'll not stay a day shorter. You'll go home exactly when you're supposed to. And theologically, I understand all that. But to put it in an image where we can all understand it, I think the running is a very good image. It means that we're not supposed to. You know, there is such a thing called power walking. You guys ever heard of that? I'm like, why don't you just run? It takes so much more energy to do this. You know, just start running, you know. Oh, some of them really get carried away with it. You see them going running all over the place. We're supposed to run. We're in a marathon. This is a race. Paul says, I look for the finish line. It's my prize is ahead. I'm going to run to it. Paul never did anything stagnantly. He didn't just say, okay, let's remain idle and do nothing. No. Your job and mine on a day in, day out basis is to be obedient to Christ. And also, I think it means worship, and I think it means evangelism, to share the gospel. Where are you at in the marathon, and have you been obedient? Are you going to cross the finish line with your hands raised in victory? The only way to get there is to remain faithful. He's the first one that crosses. I bet you he's happy. That's the marathon in Paris, I guess. Yeah, I think so. It's in Paris. They need the gospel bad over there. But you know what else? They need the gospel bad right here in Tolono. They need a gospel bad over in Philo. They need a gospel bad in Savoy. They need a gospel bad in Ivesdale. They don't need it in Pasotum. They got Dave and Heidi. That's So remain obedient to the task, and he ends it by talking about growth. Now, he does this in form of a prayer. After he's asked them to pray for him, he now returns and says, "May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." That is, that God may direct and influence your heart in such a way that you will continue on the mission. Let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to get goofy. When was the last time you asked God to examine your heart? When was the last time you had a open door meeting with God? And you said, "God, I'm not worshiping you. I'm not evangelizing. Can you fix it? Can you change it?" Because ultimately, if I don't want to run ahead too much, so to speak. That's a pun. Because of the messages that are coming later. But if you're tired, and we all get tired in this race, I understand that. I get that. But if you get tired and you stay tired, you'll eventually stop running. The worst thing a marathon runner could do, and I saw this, the worst thing that a marathon runner can do is stop running and then try to start running again. It's better to keep in motion. It's better to keep moving. When was the last time you had a heart to heart with God? As I see it, we're supposed to be growing, we're supposed to be straining forward. And it's not just to any place. Notice he says, to the love of God. And I want you to understand that we should be growing more and more in love with God every day, and less in love with this world who does not love God. So pray this week that God will direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Look at his eyes. He's hurting, I think. I think he needs some water pretty bad. And he's focused on that water bottle. And by the way, that water bottle will replenish nutrients, help him keep running. That may even be an extra type of water. But he is focused no longer so much on the race, but on that bottle. You see that? He needs that water. And you know what? If while we are running, we would focus on the love of God and on emulating Christ, who was steadfast, unmovable, carrying his own cross to the place of execution. If we would focus our minds and our hearts on that, maybe we could run better rather than focusing on what is in front of us. I can tell you that physically for firsthand, because when I got tired and I went back through my mind and tried to remember this, now this was years ago, but when I started looking down and looking at my legs and looking at my feet and looking at what was right in front of me, it hurt. Head up, focus forward on the guy in front of me and watch him and try to stay behind him. Look around, change the scenery, look for people that clap. Help me keep moving forward. This guy was no longer thinking about the course. He wants that bottle of water. And by the way, isn't Jesus Christ the living water? That means we ask him to flow through us as we run this race. So how are you running? By the way, we're putting this all together in the context of engage God in worship. From that worship leads to evangelism. How many of you are tired today? It's okay, you can raise your hand. How many of you are tired today? Thanks. How many of you are still going strong right now in the race? Heidi, you just had coffee with sugar. You should be good. Seriously, how many of you feel strong today spiritually? You're running well. How many? Just by a show of hands. Good job. Good. Now, how many of you are really struggling and bogged down in the day-to-day warfare of the race? Just by, I am. I'm raising my hand. I put my hand up. It's okay. Yeah. You know what? You need to pray for me. You need to pray for Sharon and other people that are having a tough time running right now. That's who you pray for. Mine's tired from school. I can't wait to get these papers done. It's driving me nuts. How many of you would like to have a heart encounter with God? Best thing to do, Ashley, get alone and talk to him. Because we have to engage the culture. We have to run the race. We have to engage. It is our mission. It is our mission. It is our mission to tell others about Christ so that they can experience, what did Paul say, has happened among you, that they may experience the joy of knowing Jesus Christ face to face. It's the run. We're all on it. Let's move that gospel out this week. Let's get out there. Let's share it when we can. Let's live it when we can. You know what I mean by that. That song, Take Time to Be Holy, always bothered me. Theologically. I don't know, maybe I got it wrong, but I think you're supposed to be holy all the time. Not take time out just to do it specially. It's my problem. I know people love that. Get out there and share it. Let your life live for Christ. Get out there and share it. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. You can do it. Keep moving forward. By the way, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can trust him. You can see me. You can see the deacons. Anybody in this church that's trusted in Christ knows how to pray. Give your heart to him. Let me tell you, in 54 years, I just told how old I was. In 54 years of life, the greatest decision that I ever made was trusting in Christ as my Lord and Savior. Biggest decision. Best. Ever. And for many that have run before me, they have experienced the finish line. And they would say the same thing. And someday we will embrace that. But we got to run. Stay on track. Stay running. Keep going. Pick up that leg and move it forward. Look for opportunities to share the gospel.